Welcome to a special edition of the ADD Cast. The following material that you're going to hear was recorded live at PodcasterCon in our hotel suite.
Our sweet hotel suite.
It was pretty sweet in Chapel Hill, North Carolina on January 7th, 2006. Actually kind of ran into January 8th there for at least a couple of minutes.
Just for a couple of minutes.
Joining Martha and myself were Rob Walsh of Podcast 411.
Lee Murdoch, the podcaster at large.
Yeah. Hugh Brackett from the Illudium Podcaster.
Illudium Podcast. Right. And Steve Ely.
And Steve Ely
from Escape Pod.
Escape Pod. Still one of my favorite shows. Actually, all of these guys were awesome. Now, I wanted to let you all know in advance that the audio's a little bit... the audio levels vary greatly throughout this. I did a lot of work on this to make it cleaner, and some of this stuff is just freaking hilarious. So please bear with us.
And with the patchwork of equipment that we had, because everybody brought their own mic.
Yeah, and we didn't have exactly the right cables to do everything that we needed to do. So be forewarned that, you know, but it's something you're going to want to listen all the way through to, because it's really funny. There's a lot of really good information. I personally want to say that at PodcasterCon, I felt the love. More than any Christmas season ever. Just the people that were there were just really wonderful people.
Yep. I truly enjoyed myself. It was great fun and got a lot of information, very entertaining.
Well, all that being said, we're just going to launch right into this. There's no music tonight. No promos other than people giving themselves props and the props we give to other people. And, of course, there's... did I say no music?
You just said no music.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's no music either. We will be writing copious show notes about this. They will be available at the website.
ADDcast.net, excuse me.
Yep, and... thank you all for keeping subscribed, and I hope you enjoy this PodcasterCon special edition of the ADD Cast.
Well, you know, if you really desperately want music, honey, I could sing.
No.
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 Okay. Well, if you're sure.
I have headphones on, honey.
I just feel like, sing!
This is your ADD Cast special report for Saturday, January 7th, 2006. Coming to you live, or almost live, from Chapel Hill, North Carolina at PodcasterCon. I am Paul Fisher, your host. As almost always, directly across from me is my lovely wife, Martha Holloway.
Hi there.
Hey, sweetie.
Hey, hon.
Joining us is our old friend, Hugh Brackett.
Hello.
And we have Rob from Podcast 411.
How are you doing?
We have Steve Ely.
Hey, hon. that wasn't me. I mean, hi, how are you?
Lee. And we have Lee, whose name for some reason I cannot remember, but I will.
That's right.
I will as soon
before
as I finish.
Before the end of the night.
Before the end of my beer.
Well, let's hope.
All right, so let's do once around. Tonight I am drinking the Blue Ridge Porter from the Frederick Brewing Company. Had a taste of this. It's a porter. It's nice, and it's smooth.
Is that with a capital smooth, honey?
No. The Gordon Biersch gets the capital smooth. This is just smooth.
I am partaking of a Hofbräu Bach, as I have been instructed to call it. It is difficult for me to read because I'm half blind. And it is the Trader Joe house brand. However, it is brewed
Gordon Biersch.
By Gordon Biersch.
Yep.
I am enjoying the Stout Winter Ale, which says it is ale brewed with cocoa. And it has a wintry, old man winter sort of cloud blowing wind over somebody's house on the bottle. And I've selected this beer because I know better than to drink the Stout's triple in an attempt to get back to my hotel.
There is one bottle of triple.
Yeah.
Brave enough. It's going to have to be somebody that's staying in this room.
One bottle of triple for six people? That could be about right.
That would work.
Yeah.
The shot glasses.
And I am enjoying holding on to the Shure SM58 and watching the others cop a buzz.
Okay, so he's the guy who stays sober when everybody else gets drunk and just laughs at everybody. That's
yep.
how it works.
He's the designated
exactly how it works.
designated
laugher.
Yes.
I enjoy other people's misery.
Yeah, cool. So I've got the also the Hofbräu Bock. It says it is a rich golden Bock beer, and on the back it says that Hofbräu in German means the brew of royalty. So we're very, very special.
Ausgezeichnet.
Whatever that means.
I think it means me too, from what he's holding.
Yep.
It's good beer, though. It really is.
It is good beer. It's all good beer. And we have just returned from a lovely dinner of sushi, hanging out with some of the stars of PodcasterCon.
Mighty Murr was there, although uncharacteristically quiet.
Yeah.
Well, only because she'd lost her voice, sir. Yeah.
We looked all over the place for it, and we couldn't find it.
People kept standing up and saying, "No, I am Murr." In the manner of Spartacus.
That was hilarious.
And most of them men, too.
All of them men.
Yep, all of the men.
Well, it was a podcaster convention. Who else was going to be there?
Well, there was...
actually.
Yeah.
There
from
were
East
actually.
Radio, Madge Weinstein.
She didn't come, but Richard was there.
That's right. That's Richard was there. This guy kept speaking up in the back of the room and saying, "Hi, I'm Richard from East Radio." And I'm looking over and I'm like, I guess Madge couldn't make it. He must help out on the podcast. It just, you know, I know he...
They sound a lot alike. He must be her stunt double. That's
exactly. Right. Exactly. It just didn't occur to me.
Yes.
And he didn't look very bloated.
No, not at all.
No.
No, the only yeast I detected all day is in this beer.
And everyone pauses to take a sip.
Ah, yes.
There will be lots of that, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. The first burp of the night. also, Patrick McLean from the Shawnee was there.
Mm-hmm.
He was an absolute riot at dinner. Who's the guy who's sitting on my left?
Rich.
Rich.
Rich from Requiem of the Outcast and the Mr. Adventure radio show.
Yes.
Oh, man. The two of them were doing voices and impressions back and forth. And I was just
They were
kinda,
playing off of each other.
Oh, yeah.
It was so funny.
We were just rolling on the floor laughing. Well, all right. We weren't rolling on the floor, but
we were laughing.
But
pretty
we were
hard.
Laughing pretty hard in our sushi.
And if this were video, you could see that I hold in my hand my iRiver, which has captured a significant portion of that performance.
And he'll be blackmailing all of us for the next several months.
Exactly.
Yep.
There's some good stuff on there.
There really is.
Yeah. And I wasn't trying to be sneaky about it. I took it off my neck and turned it on and sat it plainly on the table, but apparently a lot of people didn't notice that I had done that for about 20 minutes.
Bring the mic up closer to your face.
But we'll have that audio up because everybody thought it was a very good idea that I had done that.
Oh yeah, that's going to be great. If that came out
I'm hoping it came out good because it was there was an awful lot of background noise in the restaurant, so we'll have to see. We have to make sure the iRiver may have faithfully captured all of that background noise as they are
the
wont
usual,
to do.
Also, the usual like three conversations going on at once effect.
Yes, yeah. That's always entertaining.
Soundtrack Pro doesn't help you on that.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Not at all.
Well, they should have an annoying background conversation filter.
Ooh,
that would be handy.
How do you?
I think you could charge a lot.
How do you initialize that?
Yeah, what threshold do you set for annoying? Because, I mean, is there a screaming kid crying button, and then you have?
You find 5 seconds of them talking about their prostate problems.
If it was only 5 seconds, there'd be no problem.
It's kind of like old people in a retirement home. You know, they just can't stop talking about the prostate problems this week.
Why do all conversations eventually get down to the prostate?
Well, see, it's because it's all guys. Now, if it were all girls except for one guy, then we'd be talking about women's underwear.
If it was all girls except for one guy, there'd be a lot more guys next year.
There was the Women in Podcasting seminar that happened this afternoon, which was mm-hmm.
there was indeed.
Yeah, there's a surprising number of men were there as well.
Yes, I was very happy to see that.
Because the copyright was so crowded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Copyright was full up.
And I heard someone say that they came over from the copyright because it was boring.
I think that was Steve.
Basically, I stuck my head in there, and A, I couldn't get a seat, and right. B, I don't do music a lot in my podcast anyway, and as from what I could tell, all they were getting to was don't play copyrighted music in your podcast. Like, okay, check.
I kept waiting for the loophole. That's what I wanted to hear. What's the loophole?
Permission from the artist.
I do that, so I'm going to
apparently there wasn't one.
Yeah. So I'm going to go where the women are. That's what I decided to do.
Well, that one of the reasons that I just kind of took the copyright one off my list was just that I kind of thought that's what was going to happen with it, and it, like, you might as well, you know, wait for the sun to burn out if you think you're going to get to play, you know, RIAA licensed music under any kind of reasonable thing. I mean, all you've got to do is look at what they did with the webcasters, you know, and the rates that they put in for streaming.
Yeah.
Okay, so they want 7 cents a hundred to stream it. You want to give them a file of a mechanical copy? Yeah. Don't hold your breath. You know,
not 9.1 cents per download right now.
Yeah,
so they want
on top of the other licenses.
So basically, 10 cents a person who gets your podcast. You know,
ten cents a person. I'm guessing that mine is one of the lower numbers. We're hitting around 300 downloads in a month. So what would that be?
$30 to you if someone has like their iPod or X misconfigured and is downloading your show 1,000 times by mistake.
Yeah.
Which has happened.
Which, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, actually, if you move your feed, iPod or X kind of gets confused and downloads the whole thing all over again.
Mm-hmm. So you get hit for every episode.
Every episode,
the
every
show
time.
Is not sponsored by iPod or X.
No, it's not.
Actually, iPod or X will soon be changing their name.
Do you know to what?
They have the contest running. I don't know if they've announced the winner yet.
No, not that I've seen. I haven't checked in the last couple of days, but I did check over Christmas, and they had taken the site down and redirected you to their parent corporation.
Now, how many people registered names with them to try to win the iPod?
We did.
They should have named themselves Fred. I was going to submit that.
Fred?
Yeah. With a PH?
Okay, sure.
Why not?
Both ways.
Yeah, that works.
And a silent Q. You know?
Yeah, that's right. Fred with a silent Q.
So what names did you submit? Do you remember?
We submitted...
Podner,
which is actually another product.
Howdy, Podner.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yo, Podner's always got you covered.
I think one of them was iMedia X. So... It wasn't registered.
Yeah, I didn't realize until afterward that Podner was already taken.
Already in use.
Yeah, by another product.
That was our second one. What was our first one?
Wasn't it like Acme or something like that?
Apex was one I wanted to submit, but we didn't. We didn't get a chance.
I don't remember what the other one is. That'll be the one that wins.
No, I think F. Steve will win.
F. Steve.
F. Steve. F. Steve Jobs.
I was about to take that personally. I qualified that.
Ah, well.
As we pause for another drink.
As we pause and sip and cogitate.
It's it's not all about you.
So damn, how is
it's not?
And why not? I ask.
It surely could be.
Because it's my feet. It's all about me.
That's right.
That is a good reason.
And, you know, earlier we, speaking of which, earlier we were talking about ADD and
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to revisit the whole Silert thing?
Okay, sure. Why not? Yeah, basically, I was just making them aware. There's a good friend of mine, one of the major editors at a New York publishing house, who was on her blog making a number of people aware of a prescription drug, Silert, which is used widely for treating ADD and narcolepsy as well. She has narcolepsy, and Silert was just recently banned, thanks to Ralph Nader and his Public Citizen advocacy group. And, you know, there are a fairly small number of people, which means that the market doesn't have much reason to lobby for it, but a small number of people who just really can't function without this drug. And, I mean, yes, there is, you know, some danger of liver damage from it. I understand that you're fairly aware of that.
Yeah, I was definitely aware of that. That was one of the first ADD drugs that I went on, and that was by far the best ADD drug that I have ever been on. It really, being on Silert really let me understand what normal was for the first time, you know, in so many ways. You know, it just made me way more functional. You know, my relationships got better, everything got better. But there was at the time
life
that I was
nods knowingly.
Yeah. at the time that I was taking it, they said that there was liver damage.
Some chance.
Chance of liver damage with about 30% of the people taking it. So my doctor and I were doing quarterly blood tests, and we had done a baseline. And, you know, at the first quarterly blood test, there was elevated levels, and we said, okay, maybe it's something else, so we'll do another one. 6 months, we did another one, same elevated enzyme levels that cause liver damage. We said, you know, okay, you know, maybe it's something else. We'll see if it goes back to normal. On the third one, after 9 months, it was still elevated, so I had to discontinue. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that if I had been staying on that drug for several years, I would have permanent liver damage. And, you know, being clear thinking and well balanced is not worth 40 or so years of my life.
Yeah, and you wouldn't be having this beer right now.
And if you're thinking quite clearly, possibly, you don't want to damage your liver because
exactly
you can't get spares for that.
Well, it's hard to. It's
well,
hard
you
to
can.
Well,
but
if you got an identical
hard
twin, or you know.
No, I mean, not Steven Stills.
There's Mickey, more fun
Mickey
ways
Mantle
to damage your liver.
Crosby, David Crosby.
David Crosby, Mickey
got
Mantle
got a spare liver. If he could get one, I should be able to get one. But
yeah,
I didn't want to actually try and get on that particular list.
Yeah, but I was trying to help people raise get some awareness of the fact that it was banned, because now, you know, it kind of, for some people, apparently some people had noticed and some people it kind of came out of the blue for. And she's trying to get a lot of people, like, yeah, writing to their senators now and that kind of thing to let them know. Because apparently, I think in the real world, it was quite a bit less chance. It wasn't 30%. I think it was like many, many fewer people were having the kinds of problems you were having. But I think just the fact that people who weren't having the problems with it, I think, yeah, there are people who are still, yeah, who are getting very hurt now by the fact that it's not on the market, that are like facing like job loss because they can't stay functional, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they've done quarterly liver tests, mm-hmm, with their physician and they're not showing any problem, mm-hmm, then that's definitely a reason for them to try and get it declared an orphan drug,
mm-hmm,
because you know, it could be a very special case thing that we're going to try this with you if nothing else works.
Yeah.
But I really wish that they would figure out whatever causes the liver damage with that, because I would love that experience again. I would be able to completely take over the world if I were on Silert again. I was on my way.
That's why.
Perhaps it is best that it has been taken out of your reach.
Well, the beer's in reach, so Rob, why don't you tell us about your podcast session from this morning?
Well, it wasn't just mine; it was also Steve's. So we co-chaired it.
Yeah, but he was the he was brain. I was pinky. So yeah.
And tonight we're going to take over the world. We had very good questions, very wide-ranging questions, from the very easy to what is an RSS to the very, very, you know, detailed and exactly what do you put in that RSS. And hopefully we answered the questions well enough that we didn't send people away more confused than when they walked in.
Yeah, we got pretty good response from it. I remember beforehand we were thinking, how can we possibly fill 2.5 hours of this? And we ended up actually not quite being able to cover everything we wanted to cover.
Yeah, we
because
did.
Because the questions kept on coming, and that really kept the panel alive.
Yeah, absolutely. And they were very good questions. And they were, again, there's a lot of people out there that still don't know what podcasting is, have never podcasted. And for those people, just remember anybody who's here who's tried to podcast for the first time, what you thought of when you first thought about doing podcasting. You're like, oh, my God.
The brilliant idea Rob had was he passed his iRiver around the room while the panel was going on, and you know, just had people like speak their names into the iRiver. We actually put together, uploaded, and then subscribed to a podcast, a brand new podcast,
wow,
at the seminar.
Oh, and excellent.
That's really cool. To show people that it's not as complex and mysterious as you think. It is something you can do in just a few minutes to get started with. And I think having people actually see the steps that you were going through,
answering all those questions, mm-hmm, going through all the stuff, and still being able to upload, edit, and edit. Mm-hmm. We edited.
Yep.
Added the ID3 wow tags, including a picture, mm-hmm, album art of the audience. I thought that was a nice touch.
That's a nice touch.
And get a free account for them and everything. It turned out well. I was like, oh, thank God for GCast, because yeah, it would have been hard to do any other way.
Cool. About how many people were at the session?
I would say at least 100.
That's it was probably about that. We didn't try and count or anything, but the room was probably about between half and two-thirds full.
There's cool a lot of people I was picturing naked.
So now none of those people can now claim they've never podcasted before. Is that right?
That's true. They've had at least a second podcast each, so that was...
Yeah, well, you know, you give them a taste... As we like to say, the first one's free.
That's right.
And you don't want to know what he was just smacking at.
Please, there's some things you can't unsee.
This show is brought to you by Acme Crowbar. Acme Crowbar, when you need to pry that image out of your head.
While he recovers his breath, we should point out too, both of them are wearing T-shirts that say "Get Explicit, Subscribe."
That's right.
The iTunes Explicit logo. It looks very cool.
Thank you. We have these on our Cafe Press store.
I think I may get one. You'll be like the first T-shirt I buy off Cafe Press.
Oh. Are you telling me Cafe Press has black T-shirts now?
Yes.
Yes,
they do.
It's about freaking time.
You're behind the times on this.
I've had them for a couple months now. I'm way behind the power curve as usual.
These are more expensive. I'm what they call a late adopter.
They are more expensive.
Yeah. These are $20.
We're making a dollar and a penny off of each.
Nah, how much did you make last year on your selling of your shirts?
We actually had them up just in time for Christmas so that we could not let anyone know about it in time.
I had a Cafe Press store up exactly 1 year.
Yes.
I made $25.92.
Wow.
Cafe Press success.
Hey, I made $22 off my Amazon referrals in like the last 6 months.
Ooh.
And most of those came from one person.
It's all about the swag.
And it's true. I do a markup a dollar. That's all I mark up a dollar to even it out. Right.
Yeah. No one does it to make money. They do it to get whatever message out that they want to get out.
Yep.
And the only reason we mark it up is just so we can monitor how many swag we sell.
That's right.
That's true. Cool. Well, after actually at the same time that you guys were doing the beginning podcast panel, I was leading the discussion for the advanced podcast panel.
And how did that go?
It was fairly amusing.
That was really excellent.
Yep. Well, to start with, we brought our hookup, evidently, because we're using it. And we were late getting to the panel, so there we were, the very first thing with a box of gear and a rack. And
Nice.
Fortunately. Hat. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Got that from Michael R. Minigay.
You should send a picture of it into Rate My Rack and see how many votes it gets.
We can all go vote for it.
Thank you.
8.6. Michael R. Minigay's, we'd like to point out.
That's right. That's right. So, plan B, of course, was to, you know, to begin the advanced program by showing folks how to put together a advanced set.
I got to say, the amount of equipment in this hotel room is astounding.
It's pretty
you
frightening.
You guys brought.
I'm a gadget whore.
It's
horror.
Called overkill.
Yep, that would be me.
That's it. Right now, so you can't call it overkill.
That's right. We got five mics plugged in. We got the feedback loop from the PC.
Mm-hmm.
But the advanced podcasting seminar was that there must have been, I'm sure there were at least 20 digital recorders.
At least.
It must have been the most recorded conference that's ever happened.
I had my whole setup up with the laptop and the whole deal.
Yeah.
That's I saw
I
that.
I got a good shot.
And you weren't the only one. Right. I'm looking, and people were all over the place with laptops, but I'm in that session, and here's people with laptops with headphones on, and I go, dang.
He's meanwhile,
like State of the Union address.
Meanwhile, in our beginning podcasting thing, we had Rob's Eye River, which was going around the room.
That's right.
And Dave from the Word Nerds was in the front row, kind of pointing lapel mics in our direction. That was our recording.
We had the guy.
All the people who knew how to record were yours.
We had the guy with the shotgun mic.
I was going to mention that's cool.
That was cool.
You know, what was really weird for me about that is I almost brought mine. and the only reason I didn't is because I decided I didn't want to, basically stand in front of the room and point the shotgun mic at people for the whole conference. I don't want to do that, and if I don't want to do that, I'm not going to plug it in. So if I'm not going to plug it in, I'm going to leave it in Manassas.
That might have been kind of cool, though.
It might have been.
It was very cool. I mean, I would look around, and there would be another recording set right there.
Yep. It was almost like being married and having 800 flashbulbs going off in my face. You know, everybody was recording every word I said.
So was it intimidating being in front of all those people that knew what they were doing?
Until I asked my first three questions and figured out that, you know, there were like four people who knew what a pee popper stopper was. And I'm like,
that's what
okay.
we call them.
I don't know what you guys call it, but
I hope you're talking about a pop filter.
That's exactly.
Yes.
Okay, good. Popper
stopper. No, that's questions. What I call it. That's,
we could, yeah, you know, we're down here on the unprofessional,
you call it pantyhose inside a coat hanger, right?
That's something like that.
What's the tagline from that thing you wanted to put on a shirt?
Always on the spot now.
Oh, he's brain damaged.
I can smell the smoke.
The beer.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, it is.
Smutty Charms.
Smutty Charms.
What was the other one?
The other one is Techno-Darwinism on Crystal Meth.
Exactly. Yes. That's what was in that room.
Yes. Definitely, that room was all techno Darwinism on crystal meth.
It was, and we were just loaded with smutty charms.
Oh man!
But oh man, there were upwards of about 140 people that were there, and
it was packed.
It was packed, and everybody was talking to each other. People were helping each other out. And, you know, I just got my ass out of the way and helped coordinate, you know, and monitor and control and move things forward.
Just
you
like
know.
The Portable Media Expo.
Yeah. Portable Sanitation Expo.
Yeah. Portable your passion.
Yes. Except without a dealer's room.
But there's books.
There's books. Oh, the evil books.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know. Should we give context on that, or do you think that...
All right, well...
Just tired of talking about it.
You know, I think everything we've had to say has been said on the PodcasterCon blog about the evil books.
Yeah.
Okay, Dave Weiner went a little bizarre, my personal opinion. because they were giving away books that came from O'Reilly, he canceled coming to the show.
They weren't even giving away at the con. They were giving away like across the street in a bookstore after the
No, it's like five, it's mile, like 5 blocks like, away.
About a mile and a half away. From, yeah. Mind yeah. you, a mile and a half away, yeah. a long way Granted, from the conference.
Right. Right. So of the almost 300 people that showed up, they had 50 books to give away at a bookstore after the con was over, a mile and a half away.
Clearly, the whole thing had collapsed under the weight of commercialism.
Yeah.
Clearly.
And, yeah, I mean, clearly Brian was just, you know, a corporate pawn in this
shill.
Whole thing.
Well, he was a shill.
Yeah, it just, it really rattles my chain, this whole thing, because Brian and all the folks who've worked to put this together have been so idealistic about the whole thing. And, right. I mean, yeah, they've worked so hard. They've done a fantastic job of getting good people here and keeping true to the whole unconference idea. And, I mean, to have people dissing it for a stupid reason.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it worked out really well, too.
Yeah.
Rob,
the thing that was so bizarre about it to me is what seemed to really set it off was Brian just mentioned he had on the blog for the PodcasterCon, not even the main page that you see if you put in podcasterCon.org, but you actually got to click into the blog for the con, and he posted...
excuse me.
Paraphrasing, but basically, hey, I've got books from O'Reilly that I'm going to give away after. And he linked to the page about the book so that people
right,
know
so you can tell
what
them
is
that.
This book. And I would do the same thing if I was talking about a book.
Right.
You know? And that apparently is like, that, oh, evil commercialism.
Well, within,
he linked to the O'Reilly
oh God,
site.
Within about an hour, Dave Weiner... posted his first comment about those books, and about half an hour after that, Brian replied to him and said, "Look, you know, I really don't think it's all that bad." And within 3 hours of the original posting about the books, Dave Weiner had decided to cancel instead of actually jumping in and like trying to talk to people and explain his point of view. He just he threw a tantrum. And said, I'm not going to come.
Oh, well, his loss.
Yeah. And, you know, I really wanted to meet him, but fuck him. You know? Seriously.
You have to meet him first before that. Yeah,
you'd have to meet him first. Yeah.
Well, I'd have to get permission from my
wife. Buy
him
a couple drinks or something.
Or you would need a couple drinks.
He has to get permission from his wife first.
You need real beer goggles for anyway.
That's true.
You need a triple.
Three triple stout.
Ooh. Oh, that's a hangover just waiting to happen.
Yes, it was. I did that.
Yeah.
Not realizing what I was drinking.
This whole day was a blast, though.
Oh, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's been a very laid-back event. And, yeah. Because I'm used to things like science fiction conventions, which are, much higher up on the weirdness intensity scale.
Right, right. This is kind of relaxed and groovy.
Yeah, this was people getting together, shaking hands, meeting each other because they'd heard each other on their podcasts and things, and just wanting to talk about podcasting.
It was
a lot of geeking out, but it was geeking out in a very comfortable atmosphere.
Yeah.
It was very cool to see, to be able to put faces to those voices that were so mm-hmm. familiar.
Yeah,
definitely.
That was I think one of the things that you said that you were coming here for the people,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, that's why I'm coming. Yeah. You know, I could give a rat's ass about a book regardless of who it comes from, and you know, I got to meet all of these absolutely excellent folks that I try to emulate.
Many of whom are in the room.
Yes, many of whom are in the room.
Or were at dinner.
And I can only say that anyone who wasn't here
lost out
on a chance at something really special.
Well, it's going to happen again next year. So
It'll probably be worse than twice as big.
Yeah,
we have 1,000 people next year.
Next year they might not they might not be able to have it in somebody's dorm room.
That's true.
It wasn't exactly someone's dorm.
No, it wasn't.
It was a classroom.
It was not.
There's a couple of big auditorium rooms.
I don't know. That copyright conference was in a real small room.
And that was pretty packed, too, in the afternoon copyright session. Yeah. The basic end result of that copyright session was, if you're interested in using copyrighted material, you're fucked.
Don't do it.
Don't
put your hand on the hot stove.
Remember, kids,
don't do music.
Friends don't let friends do
play
copyright.
Yeah.
This is your brain. This is your brain on music.
This is your brain after you've been served with discovery for 650,000 documents from an RIAA lawyer.
Good thing I don't keep documents.
Good thing I don't have headphones on.
Yes, exactly what I was thinking.
Bad thing that I did.
Yes.
Sorry.
You squeal like a girl.
It's, well, all right. It could be. It's better than squealing like a pig.
I want to know how many girls she's made squeal.
I want to know how many pigs he's made squeal.
Well, you know, it was sort of a combined effort there. The girls and the pigs.
I rented that. Well, wait.
Oh, so you were the guy that bought it.
That came in a plain brown wrapper.
Produced it. I don't know.
This is turning into winging it.
Oh, yes.
You start with beer, and it all ends up in the same
way. Yeah, it's going to go. All right. Are we ready for a re-beering? Because I'm getting down to the end of my porter.
I got to drive someday.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be re-beering.
I'll
re-beer
you.
Oh, cool.
I need to laugh. You're going to get a triple.
Give the guy working the board the triple. That's
yep,
it.
That's it.
That's the best way.
That's why I get everybody's levels right to begin with.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
If they degenerate, it's not his fault.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes.
Yep. None of this is my fault. Absolutely none of this is my fault. So what else happened in the afternoon? The Women in Podcasting Conference?
That was very low-key because Murr could pretty much not speak. Murr was leading that discussion.
She had a microphone on. You can hear her.
Yeah. But she kind of reserved her voice for particular sentences and questions and mostly let the audience run wild.
Like you do.
Yeah, exactly. Except that it was a very low-key audience. So we were very polite.
I heard Di tried to mix it up a little bit.
In what sense?
Oh, just going off that you need to get more PR for women out in other medias that are more women-oriented.
She did. There was a question as to whether or not a women's guild for podcasting should be set up. My particular view is that sort of thing tends to ghettoize the group that you're trying to encourage, sort of like black literature in at a bookstore, which is housed in a separate section so that you can find it easily or avoid it easily. So,
but a very excellent point was made is that this medium isn't like a bookstore.
No.
And whereas in a bookstore you can only be in one category, you're on this shelf over here. With a podcast, that's not the case. You're in six different categories if you fit in six different categories.
If you identify your podcast that way, if you don't think of your podcast as being outside of a particular category, then it probably won't appear.
Right, but I mean. And I'm not stupid to think I understand women, but you know, because I'm a man and I've dealt with enough.
I don't think I understand women.
Okay, right.
I don't think
if you all
can.
Don't understand each other, I'm certainly not going to try. But I think certainly some women blog about so-called women's issues, but I mean if you're blogging about whatever it is you know sewing, or God, there was somebody there that blogged about one of the Survivor.
Yes, that's correct.
Right. I mean,
oh, that's a waste of bandwidth.
How can you? Right, but I mean, you're not going to put yourself. You know, she's not going to tag herself as like, oh, this is a blog about women's stuff. You know, she's just going to put a tag. This is about Survivor. It's about TV shows. And I forget all the other things that she mentioned she was on. But if you just put down what you do, you should be okay.
One of my favorite examples of a women's podcast that, you know, it's not, the content is not exclusive towards women, but you pretty much can tell that's who's going to be listening to it. Have you heard Look at His Butt?
I've heard about Look at His Butt.
Captain Kirk.
It is. They are funny as hell. They really are. But it is entirely about William Shatner's butt. They have a regular podcast.
Rob
where
the crowbar,
they cover
please.
William Shatner. Well, okay.
Cover?
They occasionally talk about it uncovered. But it is a podcast about William Shatner's butt. And it's these two women who, I guess they've always been long Shatner butt admirers for, ages past. And that's what they get together to talk about. And it's really funny. It's worth listening to.
Just tell me that they're talking about Shatner's butt circa 1960 when he was like in his 20s and not now.
I don't think they're talking about any Priceline butts or anything.
Good.
No, I think this is Shatner and the Green Woman butt.
Yes.
Yeah, they occasionally cover like TV. The Orion Slave Girl was in that kind of thing.
Oh, so. You know, Shatner played Alexander the Great in a widescreen release before he did Star Trek. And he was cut. He was very well muscled. And he kind of maintained upper body strength for a long time and did bow hunting. He doesn't do that anymore, as far as I know, but
I will conquer the world. Now that I've conquered it, there's nothing left to do.
Very much so.
Yeah, something like that.
But I think one thing we can agree on, the women in podcasting, everyone agrees, there's not enough. There's not enough women in podcasting, and we need to get more. And we need to work hard to get more women in podcasting.
Yes, there are 6 people on this podcast, and only one of us is a woman.
And that means the odds in here are actually higher than what is actually out there.
That's true. We need to get some more guys in here.
Yeah, we get 4 more guys in here, we'd be about right.
Yeah, that was the figure that they were quoting.
Yeah. It's about 14% of podcasters. I don't know who actually counts that.
Menashe University did a survey of 350 plus podcasters, and it was whatever it was, 14% or 9% or whatever it was. It was about roughly 1 in every 10 podcasters was a woman, and blogging is 42%. So until we when we get podcasting up into the 40s, then podcasting will be mainstream.
A lot of it is what you were doing this morning of demystifying the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, blogging has become the kind of thing. No one thinks of blogging as a highly complex technical thing to do these days.
No.
Podcasting still is.
And I'm thinking
about that.
You know, there ought to be more like 80% women in podcasting, because most of the time you can't get them to shut up.
Email address.
addcast@gmail.com.
What was that address again? I'll be wanting to send a mail message. A comment on the show.
You mean a mail message as in like a piece of my body?
Yes, I'll be wanting to mail you your butt. Not Shatner-like. I'm sorry, Hugh. You're trying to cut in.
That's all right. No, I was going to say I caught a ride to the restaurant with Murr. And one of the things I mentioned to her that really didn't come up with at the Women in Podcasting, and I told her I didn't want to try to steer it to what I wanted to talk about.
Nice rack.
I think that was mentioned.
That was mentioned. Yes, it actually was. Not in the car, though. And her husband was in the car. Well, actually, he got out to help make sure that Brian got to the restaurant.
So you were alone with Murr.
That's true. But what I told her was that I didn't understand the whole wired thing of, you know, women, you know, women warm the bench, you know, women aren't, you know, doing it. And, you know, what I said is I didn't understand why it wasn't a level playing field if all you've got to do is click the record button.
I think there's a pretty clear consensus that the Wired article was full of crap.
Well, right, yeah, but my point, the thing I expressed to Murr is I don't understand, if all you've got to do is hit the record button, I mean, literally, you know, if you've got, you know, any sort of notebook, you know, made in whatever, the last 8 years or whatever, you find a sound recording app and click the record button and you're recording, you know. And what Murph said is that, you know, but that's not the perception. Mm-hmm. People think that it's difficult and mysterious and I can't do this, I don't know how to do this.
You have to sacrifice a goat.
You know, it's not a gender issue, it's just a power curve, you know.
It's making people aware.
It's a learning curve.
Simpler tools is certainly a critical part of it, because right now there is a difference. Yes, you could just hit the record button to record things, but you also have sound quality issues, and you have things like this mixer that everything's plugged into right now, they're recording it. You know, to do more than just get a little bit of sound and get it up there, you know, you start having to learn more and more about sound engineering. You have to learn more about web development. And I think that is the kind of thing that is going to become more commoditized, I guess if you'd say. It's going to become easier as time passes.
Well, one of the key elements that we didn't really go into that much in the advanced podcasting panel was that if you have good content, people will come regardless, well, almost regardless of your sound quality.
Up to a point.
And so good content will really get you a lot further than you think. And so a simple setup, a simple mic, a simple recording, that goes a lot further than some people think. We didn't actually address what that was, because I think that the thrust of of that particular panel was more towards the technological side,
right,
than towards how do you develop good content. I mean, well, what does that mean? Podcast your passion kind of came up, and I agree with Leo on that.
It's hard to teach content. It's hard. Yeah, I think you're right, and it is a good point that content wasn't really covered so much at today's events, not at least the ones I saw. There might be ones I missed where it was really covered in depth. But a lot of it is because podcasts are so individual. And, I mean, there's nothing you can say about content that's going to apply to everybody.
Gratuitous plug, Tricks of the Podcast Master is out in June on Q Publishing.
That's right. That's right.
If only Rob Walsh and Merle Lafferty wrote a book.
What would it be?
If only everyone bought that book.
Then they would be rich.
That's right.
That would be one of the tricks of the masters.
Boy, it can't be the slash shot review. It.
No.
Okay.
We'll be buying Steve lots and lots of beer in the June time frame.
I've done one review so far, and now I'm like, you know, Darth Vader of the podcasting world. It's just
well, you were honest, and that's scary. We want you to be nice.
And you think beer makes me nice, is that it?
No, unconscious.
Were we talking about beer goggles before?
One thing I observed today, and actually the women in podcasting thing just put me in mind of it, there was an incredibly, astoundingly low asshole quotient today.
Oh, yes.
I mean, really, you put 300 people together in a thing like this, generally speaking, someone's going to be an asshole. And if there were any assholes today, they weren't at any of the seminars I was at.
We had two guys that were, I don't know, maybe 10, 15% asshole. But there was no one that even really set off my asshole meter and wanted, you know. Yeah. I had chalk in reserve to throw at them since I was at the blackboard, and no one even got close to making me want to pick up the chalk.
Well, think of any con you've been to before.
Oh no,
and how does this compare to any con?
I'm used to science fiction conventions where any panel you go to, someone in the audience will think they know more than everyone on the panel and try and take the whole thing over. Or someone on the panel will think that none of the other guests in the panel is worth listening to, and so they'll try and take the whole thing over.
Well, you know, our panel was pretty good because there was just Paul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the thing is, everyone who was here was pleasant.
I agree.
I did not meet a single unpleasant person today, and that it means I must be in some alternate universe.
I also want to point out that no one smelled bad.
That's because it's a one-day event.
That's right.
That's one-day event.
Or it could mean something
even
a little different.
I mean,
the person that smells bad really never.
I was at work on Friday, and I was walking up the steps, and there was this guy standing like at the bottom of the steps that I walked past, and this is a workplace. This is a professional workplace. Big, you know, multi-thousand person office building. This guy smelled like he hadn't bathed in days. And it's the kind of thing that I expect from science fiction conventions, not from a working environment. And it was very pleasant to come here and you know, get within, you know, card exchange distance of many people and stand around and not have any offending odors.
Yeah, I definitely did not miss the stale Klingon outfit smell.
The geek Osteron.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I can't wash the Klingon outfit. It'll fall apart.
Bill, then you can make sure.
Should have
one.
Chosen leather then.
You know, that could be professionally cleaned.
Yeah.
So the lesson from all this is podcasters are uniformly wonderful people. And
that's
you should
right.
love us all and send us lots of money.
That's right.
That's right. We deserve your admiration. And
it will keep us wonderful.
Yes. And the larger digits of your bank account.
just a few of the larger digits.
Spread it around.
Whatever you send us will be wonderful.
That's right. And then we had after the afternoon panel, we had Birds of a Feather sessions. And I don't know about anybody else, but I think the three of us, Steve, Martha, and I, were in the storytelling panel.
I wasn't. I was doing my own open session thing.
Oh, duh. Yeah. Okay. That's right. You were doing the Audacity panel. You had the audacity to do your own panel.
Audacity, yeah. Mine was called The Gear Between Your Ears, How to Get Better Sound Quality with the gear that you already, with the hardware you already own. The idea being, I was really pitching it at, like, not what you're doing here with the nice, with, like, you know, good, really good microphones and a mixer going into your laptop and all that stuff, but people who just have a mic and just have Audacity and haven't really spent a lot of money on their podcast yet. What I'm saying is, before you go and spend a lot of money, here's some good tips to do with the stuff you've already got. You know, here's how to use, like, compression in Audacity, and here's how to get more mileage, good mic placement, you know, things like how to set up the room for less noise, things like that. Because my firm belief is that before you're going to get the expensive hardware, you should get as, you know, definitely start cheap on your podcast.
Yeah.
Get as good as you can with that stuff. And then you may be ready someday to, you know, spend more money on it. But if you buy the expensive hardware and you don't already know what you're doing, you're not going to get any value out of the expensive stuff either.
Exactly. And you know, there are a lot of things that you can do to start off cheap, because if it's something that you're going to drop after 3 months because you get bored or other things crop up, then you just wasted an ass load of money.
Yeah.
'Cause as much money as you want to spend, Michael R. Menengay can find ways for you to spend it on podcasting equipment.
Now, honey, you know Steve was the one who talked you into
oh,
the
God.
New board.
Steve has talked me into mixer number 4.
That's right.
Which
all I did was say there was a deal on this.
It's
website.
A $550 mixer that comes with a free $500 FireWire card. That's half price.
It is. Well, I'm not talking about
it. Look, I got Jewish blood in my brain.
In
my
your
brain.
Blades.
Whatever.
Matter,
oh, God, the triple has hit me hard.
The blades, boss.
That's
the
a bad blades. Pun right after Sharon.
Yeah, it is. But I'm telling you, you know, it's like 50% off sale. Just, it makes my blood hot.
Who cares if you needed it or not?
That's right.
It's on sale.
It's on sale.
That's right.
He saved so much money.
Well, ever since I saw System Episode 4, where they showed Leo Laporte's podcasting setup, where he can actually bring in 8 separate tracks and adjust them individually through the FireWire card, I was like, I want that.
First, a highly successful television show. Then,
yes.
You know, I don't know.
Honey, you should dab the drool off your mouth there.
No, oh, sorry. I don't think television pays well enough.
So he got into podcasting.
So I got into podcasting because that's where the real money is.
That's right.
That's right. Rob, you made what, $24?
Hey, and 92 cents.
And 92 cents. I've made $22. So I'm coming up behind you there.
Remember?
Closing in.
You all really beat the heck out of me now. I really didn't have much content up before the month of December, so I didn't have much of a 2005 to look at. But I really was hoping someone would click through one of my ads that I'm running and buy something, just so I could say that that it went cash flow positive. That's, you know, I
you wanted to put something on your tax return.
Exactly. I just assume not, you know. Yeah. But you know, I just thought it would be really cool because other than the iRiver that I bought, I really haven't spent any money on this. And I have a $1 a month hosting account that I'm using. So if anybody had bought anything, even T and Eva's podcast book, you know, on there, or the actually I don't think I have that book on there yet, but I have the areas of my expertise. So even if somebody had just bought that, you know, that book for like $15 or something, I would have had more money coming in.
I
had going out, right? And I could, you know, put it like, yes, this podcast is cash flow positive. Look, this is not a huge waste of money.
If you're now getting 4.5% from Amazon, then someone's got to buy something for what, about $22 or $24? Somewhere around there, and that would cover your hosting bill for the month.
someone brought up a very interesting point on a list I'm on a while ago, which is, everybody feels very strongly about making money off of their podcast or trying to break even with their podcast. They pointed out, as hobbies go, any hobby you're going to do, if you're going to go golfing, you're spending a lot of money.
Yeah.
If you go bowling, you're spending a lot of money. If you knit, you're spending a lot of money.
Scuba diving.
any hobby, you're going to spend a lot of money. Podcasters, almost all podcasters treat it as a hobby. They spend a lot of money on it. They feel that they should be getting that money back. And the reason largely being because other people listen and things.
You know, when my brother crashed his RC remote plane into the tree on the first time up, he didn't expect to get money back.
He didn't.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. And when these people crash and burn their shows, they're not going to make money.
Yeah, I've seen some shows that pretty much crashed into trees.
Yeah, I can believe that.
But, and the thing is, if you're doing it for fun, then, if you can find a way to make money, that's well and good. But if you can't, that shouldn't be impairing your fun.
No, this is pure fun for me. I'm really enjoying this. And I also feel like I'm giving back. I use the Balticon podcast as my giving back. And the ADD cast is my getting drunk and having fun. And this year, 2006... we're going to be doing a patio book. Our friend Ronnie Blackwell has two detective novels: murder mysteries, sex, drugs, in
a little rock and roll,
a little rock and roll, but more jazz. The cradle of rock and roll, in fact. I don't know if patio books make money, but I aim to have a lot of fun doing it.
And, get his name and his books out there.
Yeah.
Because we think he's a really great author.
Yeah, I kind of had to read the book to edit it. But I read it 5 times.
And enjoyed it
enjoyed it every time. And the third through fifth time, I was going back to see all of the seeds that he planted at the very beginning and how all of this was very well thought out and very well planned through the whole thing, just how the whole thing really held together incredibly well.
Scott Siegler had some great advice for people who are going to do patio books and read the book.
Yeah.
After he had done Earth Core, he realized what really would have helped him a lot more, what he did for Ancestor, was he figured out who all the characters were ahead of time, and he picked the voices for the characters ahead of time.
Actually, listening to Scott Segler do Earth Core, I listened to all of Earthcore in about 5 days because I was probably like the last one to really get on the Earthcore.
The last person on the
2001
addict wagon. Yes. I heard the drift in his voices across, you know, of the different characters, much more severely because I heard it in a very compressed time. And I said, okay, we're gonna get voice actors. We're gonna sit them down. We're gonna baseline all of these characters before we start anything.
It's incredibly hard.
It is.
To see with that stuff. I mean, that's a great idea. Record the voices early so you can go back and get references to what they should look like. I mean, doing that kind of thing over time, over a period of time. I mean, yeah, it's very admirable that Scott is as consistent as he is.
Yeah, he's. I mean, if you consider Ancestor number one, number
part of
two.
It is because he's so good at sounding like Scott Sigler.
Yeah.
Right.
He's gotten much better. But one thing that we will be doing that he doesn't do is we will be having a female voice actor
playing many of the female roles.
Many of the female parts, because there were parts where Scott was doing female bits that. He sounded like Scott.
Steve, how good do I do female voices?
I heard this story.
You do so good that Mer Lafferty does great female voices. I was willing to work with you on that. Rob was kind enough to read a story for Escape Pod. A great little story called Your Corporate Network and the Forces of Darkness.
Oh, that was awesome. That was awesome. My favorite
it's
for the
It's a
year.
Fun story. It was, that like was a great. Computer world kind of piece about, you know, summoning demons in your network and things. And there were some female interview parts. And Rob did a very good attempt at them. I'm not going to diss you. If you want me to diss you, I'm not going to do it.
Good attempt as in Mighty Python type female voices. They were bad, and then poor Mer goes to me. She goes, "Well, I was glad to do it, but you should have tried giving it an attempt." I go, "Mer, I attempted for 2 months before Steve yanked it and gave it to you."
Do you know what a capo is?
And I am so happy that Steve said, "How about Mer doing it?" And I was like, "Yes, please."
Rob, do you know what a capo is?
A what?
A capo?
No.
It's that thing they put on the neck of the guitar that kind of clamps down on it to give it a higher pitch.
Well. That would not have helped. I mean, my female voices just didn't come through.
But you're already having a kid, man. You know, why not?
That's true. In a few months, I'll no longer need them.
Yeah, anyway, moving on from that.
It could have gotten much deeper. And
that was a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. For five of you.
Rob did a fantastic job of that story, and I'm very glad that he helped us out.
Well, thank you. It was a lot of fun.
That got my vote for the best story of the year.
Why, thank you.
Of course, I'm a network architect, so it kind of warmed my heart to envision what would happen to all of the stupid people that would let demons loose on my networks.
I do network and desktop support, and I have to say, it resonated. Cool.
And if anyone else happens to listen to Escape Pod, and if not, allow me to pitch myself shamelessly, you should. We podcast science fiction and fantasy short stories every week, escapepod.org. Anyway,
check out episode 28.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you happen to listen to Escape Pod right now, we're running some votes on our website to find out what people's favorites were from last year. I will go ahead and be very honest about why I'm doing it. It's because we're going to be whoring for Hugo nominations. This year.
Sweet.
We're going to try and get...
Oh, cool.
Did I mention the two of us have Worldcon memberships?
Awesome. We are going to have a party suite this year at Worldcon.
Rockin'.
Now that I've said it on a podcast, I guess I actually have to go and do it.
Yep.
but we're going to do our best to anyway. We're trying to arrange that right now.
For us a little less geeky, where's Worldcon going to be this year?
Worldcon is going to be in L.A. It's
Anaheim, specifically.
Anaheim, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Near the Mouse.
Yep.
And you don't mess with the mouse.
No.
When is it?
It's the weekend before Labor Day. So it's like August 20, whatever that is.
Right.
So this year it's the week before DragonCon. Usually they're the same weekend.
Yeah.
And I usually go to WorldCon instead of DragonCon. This year I can do both and then sweep the rest of September.
I think we're going to be doing that as well. So that's cool. Going to be pretty damn intense.
Yeah, I'm trying hard to get a good podcasting presence at WorldCon this year. Like I said, Dragon Page is going to be there. We're going to be there. And I think it's going to be a lot of good partying for us. And I'm glad to hear that you're going to be there because I'm trying to get some panels recommended to them for podcasting.
Cool. Consider us volunteer. Of course, my two beers are worth about six of yours. So
I will trust that you would have done it sober, too.
I would have done it sober.
Cool.
And now you have it on audio.
WorldCon, for those who don't know, is the World Science Fiction Convention. It's in a different city every year, and it's where the Hugo Awards, which are one of the two top science fiction awards, are given out. And it's usually about 4,000 to 6,000 people show up. It's a great time. It's mostly literary, so if you like to read science fiction, it's the place to be. In addition to Balticon, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Because Balticon is the Baltimore area regional science fiction
question.
And fantasy
Let me
convention.
Ask you this question. I know you guys had Buckingham not too long ago. You had the PortCon in Baltimore. You guys are preparing a bid for another WorldCon in Baltimore?
Oh, no.
No, with the people who are worked on Buccaneer are actually pretty much uniformly pitched in for the 2007 bid in Japan.
Cool.
So we won, and now the hard work starts.
Yeah, I put in my money and I voted for Japan as well. I've been saving my money since then to make sure I can go to Japan.
Yes,
and it's going to be so damn cool.
It's going to be really awesome.
Yeah, all the business travel that I've been doing is going to pay off because we're going to be flying to Japan on my frequent flyer miles.
You are the man.
Yeah.
Are the Japanese into sci-fi?
Yes,
absolutely.
He says tongue in cheek.
Yes. Sorry. I'm sorry, I missed the tongue-in-cheek part. Sorry.
They actually, if you've been to the World Cons, the big parties that the Japanese guys put on to try and get this vote were absolutely amazing. They always had incredible parties.
That's what won it for us. And I do say us because I was really supporting them really hard. I mean, we worked the table at WorldCon.
I wanted to do it just to have a WorldCon in some place besides New England and England for once. You know,
yeah.
It's always either in the U.S., usually in like the eastern United States, northeastern United States, or it's in Scotland or England or someplace. It's hardly ever in any other country.
Well, it's been in Sydney, hasn't it? Has it not?
A couple of years ago.
And I just love the idea of a non-English speaking country getting to WorldCon.
I think that's awesome too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you on that too. I think we're going to try and do like 3 weeks in Japan, and I don't know if we want to do WorldCon first, middle, or last, because we are not into the relaxing vacation. We're into the, go trek up a mountain and chase a bird down the other side of it.
You probably want to do WorldCon last, then.
I would say do it first for one reason. Not to step on you, Steve. Okay. You get to meet some people at the WorldCon, locals, and they're going to be able to tell you what to do.
Good point.
You're going to get much better leads, maybe even meet a family, stay with them, whatnot. So if you do your vacation afterwards, you'll have bonded with the people and then learn what to do. Whereas if you do it beforehand, you're going to get to the con. They said, oh, did you do this? Oh, you should have done this.
That's much better logic than my, you'll be able to sleep afterwards. So I'm going to change my vote and go with Rob.
Yeah, see, I was thinking that we would need to find some tours that we're running to go, do one up north and one down south, because chances of us getting to places like, Micronesia and the South China Sea, which from my point of view are way closer to Japan than they are to where I live, really narrow. And there are some really fucking awesome birds out there that just blow your mind. And I want pictures of them.
Trophies. Silly boy.
Leave only footprints. Take only pictures.
Right.
Where do we get to those again?
Well, if this was a UK podcast or anyone in the UK had a good chuckle out of that comment.
Yes. That's true. Birds that will blow your
mind. Birds that will blow your mind.
A bird in the UK.
Yes. Get it.
So if you explain it. It's
affectionately known as a two-pointer to a redneck.
W-H-O-R-E.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Or a two-pointer to a redneck.
Oh. Rob, I mean, you can call a hoe on the show.
That's
explicit.
Right. We are wearing the Get Explicit Subscribe shirts for a reason. He meant whore. Ho, ho, ho.
Bob's a very clean-cut guy, though.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah, see, on my show, I have to spell him out like that, so.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you guys will have all the clean shows.
I loved your interview with Wichita Rutherford.
Oh, my God.
I haven't listened to that one yet.
It was so funny.
There was this one great line in it where, I mean, Wichita was talking about, yeah, you were asking him if he's going to be having, like, little Wichitas running around. He's like, yeah, I gotta get the books and find out what you have to do for that. Rob said, there's this great, you know, open source sex with Violet Blue. Yeah. And so I was like, can you say that in the podcast? With Violet Blue? Why, yes, you can. I swear, I mean, you were just as funny as Wichita.
That was really good.
You were no so kidding. On.
Thank you. Well, Wichita just raises the bar. He brings you up.
I've got a story. I've got to get him to read for Escape Pod. Do you think he'd do it?
He'd do it, yeah.
Okay, good. I've got a fantastic story that only Wichita could really do justice to.
You know the one thing that I find most about podcasters is they're really the most approachable people that I've ever met. I mean, I've gotten to meet a whole lot of different people in my life, and you know, I always have trepidation just emailing some of the bigger podcasters, and so many of these people respond to me. Brian Ibbett from Coverville has got to have 800 billion listeners.
Brian's one of the nicest people. He's one of the nicest.
He is one of the nicest guy in the world. And I had hit him up to play some Jimmy Buffett, and then I hit him up to do a workout mix, which would be a very different format for a show, and he couldn't really do the workout thing, but. Like 4 months later, I get an email from him. He's like, hey, guess what? I finally got some Jimmy Buffett on the show for you. I'm like, holy shit. You know, it's like 4 months later, he's getting back to me to let me know that you know.
That's why he's a legend.
I know.
That is so awesome.
He is so awesome. I absolutely love his show, and I'm so glad I listen to it all the time.
That's right. You yep. listen only to Coverville.
No, not only to Coverville. I also listen to Podcast 411. I listen to Escape Pod.
Yes.
I listen to Eludium. I listen to Mer Lafferty's Geek Foo Action Grip.
And if we knew what Lee's podcast was, we'd listen to it.
I'm the podcaster without a podcast.
That's right.
He's the cuckoo podcaster.
That's right.
I'm going to veto that. He rejects that.
Yep.
But he looks like Leo Laporte's brother.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Do I?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yes, well, you know.
A little bit, yeah.
I think you should go with that podcaster with podcaster without portfolio, you know, like ambassador without.
So the evil twin of Leo is Lee.
That's right.
That's right.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh.
I could be the evil twin. Sure.
Leo's evil twin. Has anyone met Leo in this room?
I haven't.
Yeah, I met Leo at PME. Very, very nice gentleman.
That's everyone I've met.
Yeah, I mean, he's so personable. I talked with him a couple of times at the expo.
I would love to meet him. He is like the uber geek of uber geeks.
Well, for me, it was really great because I used to have a 10-foot Bud, big ugly dish.
Yeah.
And I used to watch him when it was ZDTV.
Ugh.
So back when he first was on ZDTV, Screensavers. And I watched him almost every night. Drove my ex-wife nuts to the point she became my ex-wife. So
it was a choice between Leo and your wife, and Leo won.
Yeah.
Duh. Well, yeah.
Okay.
Well, it looks like Lee here, so you
That's
know.
Right.
Lee just slid a little further away.
On the subject of the approachability, I was going to say that matches my experience putting together a broadcaster's Christmas Carol, because I was emailing people, podcasters that I had never, you know, contacted before, you know, and you know, people like P.W. Fenton that, you know, it would not normally occur to me to just dash off a note to somebody like P.W. and ask him to do something for me.
And P.W. is kind of, you know, he's got a big name in podcasting. I mean, if you consider Adam Curry to be roughly equivalent to Howard Stern, where would you put P.W. Fenton? Yeah, as far as popularity concerns, like Bill O'Reilly or...
Kathy Griffin.
Kathy...
D-list?
He would be kind of the Robin Quivers at that point or something.
Yeah. I mean, he's extremely well-known.
Right, so, you know, I found him, you know, very, very approachable, and he was actually quite interested in the project. Unfortunately, he was like selling one house and buying another and moving and like six other different things, all in that time frame. And he's, you know, wrote me back and said, "I just can't, you know, I can't do it." So when I was editing the script, and at this point, this is when I was first starting on the thing, and so when I was editing the script, I had this, there's this one part where Ebenezer Broadcaster reads the writing that's on the tombstone, and I just like, I need P-Dub, I need the priest's voice that he did on his show that has the piece called Requiem for Two Siblings. And he does, you know, like this, you know, English preacher, which I'm not going to try to imitate. It's a fantastic show. So I shot him back another email with just those lines and said, you know, could you please do me just these lines with the priest's voice? And email came back. Here you go. And it was just absolutely perfect, exactly what I wanted.
Cool. Yeah, we were very happy to be part of that too. I was a little not upset, but disappointed that you didn't use the second try that I did. I did the first one the way that you wanted. I think the second one kind of came out as Yosemite Sam. But I thought it was great.
I feel terrible that I didn't get a chance because I mean, Mark Forman had contacted me about it as well. And it's just December was kind of insane for me. But what came out was really, really cool.
Now, so. Forman is in Hong Kong.
Yeah, Taiwan.
Taiwan?
Yeah, Taiwan.
So he should be able to make it to WorldCon.
In Japan next year?
In Japan.
Yeah, in 2007.
I guess it's anybody's guess what he'll be doing next year. But
That's true. Well, we should hit him up for that now, especially if he's going to be in the region.
I don't think he said anything publicly. He was hoping to be here.
On the East Coast or back in the U.S.?
For this.
Oh, okay.
It looked like, for a while, it looked like he was going to be able to do his travel so that he would be here for this, and then he was going to go to Atlanta, and
yeah, he was supposed to get together for me for barbecue like next week.
Yeah, so. But his business is good, which is not bad, right? You know, that's what I said. Well, you can't complain if you're too busy, you know, with your filling orders, you know. But he had wanted to be at this conference. And that it was kind of a disappointment for me when I found out he wasn't going to be able to make it. But, you know, then again, he's on the other side of the planet. So
It's
not exactly like...
Well, the guy we're talking about, by the way, if no one knows, Mark Forman, he's the Brooklyn Blues man. He has a podcast called Getting a Leg Up.
Legup.blogspot.com.
Yeah. And along with other people who were sorely missed, I got to add Dave Slusher. Who thought he was going to be able to make it, and then apparently got buried under work from paying customers.
Mm. That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just awful.
So inconvenient.
I know. I try and do as little as possible in the way of real work, ever. That's why I podcast.
I just podcast, play poker, and look at porn. The three P's.
Well, that's not a hard thing to do on the internet. So I think that's pretty much going to wind up our coverage from PodcasterCon and
2006.
I was going to get there eventually, but
you're a little bit
the
tipsy.
The Stouds Triple.
Yeah, there's still beer to finish.
Yeah, not exactly done.
It's set up on the screen. First annual.
First annual. I'm with it. I'm there. I'm back again.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely going again.
Yep.
Today was amazing.
Although, you know, next time I think I'll pack my studio on Thursday instead of on Friday. As I tell you, if Martha hadn't been late, I would have packed about half the equipment that I packed.
One more XLR cable, right?
One more XLR cable, another microphone, and to be honest,
another headset.
I told Martha not to rush home, and then I rushed home. So she wasn't actually late. It was just me being obsessive about getting on the road because we had a four-hour drive down here.
And it was just as well that we got going.
Yep, it certainly was. Any last words, Mr. Lee? You want to kick us off for last round?
Sure. I had a great time at PodcasterCon 2006. Being mainly a podcast listener at this point, I met all kind of cool people and got lots of information, and now I'm definitely going to do a podcast, or a not podcast, but that's for the future.
Steve?
Yeah, life is good. I've kind of picked a new slogan, and I kind of like made it up during my New Year's, the one just before New Year's podcast, and that is, you know, whatever it is you choose to do, if you do it in front of people, their world gets bigger. That's really where I feel podcasting fits in this whole thing. Anything you do like this, when people listen to it, you've put something new into their world.
Oh, that's so fucking deep.
That's one of the coolest things about podcasting. Today.
He's like, that's too deep for beer.
You need to be stoned.
And God's
no, backwards. I'm not allowed to get stoned anymore.
No.
Scotch, maybe.
Scotch.
Rob? The best way to explain how Podcaster Con went is, Steve, we were up there in front of 100-something people. Did you have even a single butterfly?
No, I felt totally comfortable the whole time.
Because it was just a big conversation.
Yeah.
That's the way it was. I mean, I didn't have a single, I didn't even think about it, not even at all. And so, to me, it was just a big conversation with a bunch of friends and soon-to-be friends.
I think that if there was even the slightest bit of doubt that anybody had that what we do is about connections between people, that this conference has totally blown that away, because it certainly proved
well said.
That that's what it's about.
Excellent.
And remember, 2 + 2 = 5 for exceedingly large values of 2.
More small values of 5, I suppose.
And that's because ADD is not just about attention deficit disorder, it's also arithmetic.
And so I'm going to take us out of here. Thank you all for joining us this fine PodcasterCon evening. I certainly had a most amazing time, and I will be looking forward to next year and WorldCon and Dragon Con. By the way, everyone who had fun at Dragon Con this year, I hate you all. Or in 2005, I hate you all because nobody told me about it. So we will be there for 2006.
It was an ad hoc thing, the whole podcasting. It's going to be very big next year.
It's going to be huge. And I expect to see y'all. Did I just say y'all?
You did.
I did again. Oh, damn.
You're in North Carolina.
It's okay. Yeah, but I'm a New Yorker. I guess I'm not really a New Yorker anymore.
You're a Virginian.
Where from New York are you from?
Long Island.
I'm a Long Islander.
Long Island.
Long Islander. You're not a New Yorker. You're a Long Islander.
Long Islander. Anyway.
What are you, Massapequa or something?
East Rockaway. Lynbrook. Yeah. I went to Lynbrook High.
Well, now I was from Maryland, so... Maryland,
you
do the Warsh.
Warsh?
Yeah.
You're in the Warsh?
I do the Warsh.
It's a Warsh cast, yeah. Not a laundry cast.
That's right. I used to be from
Balmer.
Balmer.
Balmer. All right. This is digressing. If we're going to digress.
Okay, last words, xylophone, we're out of here.
And good night, everyone. And remember, you can't control the stimulus, but you control the response.